Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Thank God for his word. Thank God for the word of God. God's word is life. God's word is power. God's word is everything to us. Hallelujah. So we've been studying Bible truths concerning the local church. This is Every Day with Jesus broadcast. And we've been studying this particular interesting, powerful subject concerning the local church. Amen. The local church. And one of the things that this series has revealed to many is how that we ought not to assume that we understand certain things. We ought not to assume that we understand, you know, things from the Word of God if we have not carefully paid attention to studying and learning and understanding these things from the Word of God. Hallelujah. Many folks have read scriptures carelessly. You just glance through. There's no careful attention being paid to the things that are said. Hallelujah. Now, in Bible study, you weigh the implications of words. Words that are used. Glory to God. Because those words were carefully and deliberately chosen. The things said in the Bible were not accidentally stated. Amen. Those things were carefully said. The words used were deliberate. So when you see the use of words in the Bible, you must pay attention to the words, because it's in the words you find meaning. You find the author's intention. Glory to God. So many times, people just read through the Bible without paying attention to the things that are said and to weigh the implications of those things. For instance, at the beginning of this series, I shared how some folks will say, "I am the church." And the reason why a man will make such a statement is because he has not carefully considered the meaning of the word. When you understand the meaning of the word church, you cannot make such a statement. Hallelujah. You can't make such a statement. So, spiritual illiteracy is so bad. Hallelujah. Spiritual illiteracy is so bad, you will make conclusions that you ought not to make, because you have not paid attention to the things that are said in the scriptures the way you ought to. So, back to 1 Timothy. Hallelujah. In the last teaching, I showed us how the reason why abuse is possible, the reason why manipulation is possible, is because of the kind of authority that is conferred on the leaders in the local churches. Amen. Manipulation, abuse is possible because of the kind of authority that is conferred upon the leaders. Hallelujah. So, a leader that is wicked, a leader that is mischievous, a leader that is a hypocrite, must not mistakenly come into leadership. And we're going to see this also in today's teaching. Praise God. So back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. You know, we began by surveying the book of 1 Timothy some days back. To see the book of 1 Timothy, to see areas where the local church is meant to set right. Areas the local church has the right and the authority to instruct the saints concerning. Areas where the local church has the authority to, you know, be involved in. Glory to God. To what extent can the local church or the leadership of the local church be involved in your life as a Christian? 1 Timothy, hallelujah. He said the local church is for discipleship and what? Accountability. Discipleship and accountability. So look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. We've seen at 1 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 also, a part of chapter 3, areas where the local church is meant to pay attention to. So let's continue. But I want to call your attention again to what Paul said to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 14 to 15. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 14 to 15. Glory to God. Look at what he says. He says, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." Hallelujah. The church of Jesus is called the pillar and the ground of truth. And the man Paul says, I'm writing to you so that if I am delayed, you know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. So that means the church is not a place where people can just come and freestyle. The church is not a place where anything goes. Hallelujah. The church is not a place where people come and do what they feel like doing. And I said, this is beyond the gathering. It's talking about the people. So there's no such thing as I'm a Christian, but you know, this is how I see things. This is my own way of living. Something totally opposed to the word of God, but you have chosen that to be your own lifestyle. There's no such thing. Hallelujah. The Bible prescribes the lifestyle that is fitting for the saints. The Bible prescribes the lifestyle, the way of living that is suitable and fitting for the saints. And the local church is meant to enforce that. Praise God. So these things I write to you, lest if I'm delayed, or if I'm delayed, I hope to come to you shortly, but if I'm delayed, I write to you so that you know how you ought to conduct yourself. Praise God. The word conduct, as used here, is the Greek word anastrepho, or anastrepho. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's the Greek word, A-N-A-S-T-R-P-H-O, anastrepho. What does it mean? It means how to live. Praise God. So this is not just about putting up an act or a show in the church gathering when we meet on service days. This is about your manner of life, a manner of life, a lifestyle prescribed for the saints. Praise God. I write to you so you know how to live as the church of God, which is the ground and the pillar of truth. So this is about a manner of life that is being prescribed for the saints. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is so important. So God will give you a new life as predetermined the lifestyle of that new life. You don't argue against it. You submit to it. You don't fight it. You don't contest against it. You don't dispute. You have to submit to it because God gave you that life. And he has predetermined the lifestyle of that life. Praise God. Anything short of submission to this is worldliness. A believer who does not submit to the dictates of God, as revealed in Christ Jesus, the instructions, the charge, and the commands of scriptures of the New Testament, is already being worldly in his orientation. Hallelujah. Because what is prescribed in the word of God is God's own wisdom. The only thing you'll find as an alternative is the wisdom of this world. Praise God. The world will not support the idea of you submitting to leadership, submitting to, you know, an instruction or taking orders from people or taking a command or a charge. The world will fight against that. Praise God. So it's worldliness to think otherwise. Hallelujah. So in Christianity, men are told what to believe. Not just that, men are told what to do. Praise God. There's no such thing as, nobody can tell me what to do. I like the kind of life I live now, you know. No, in the Christian faith, you are told what to believe and you are told what to do. So we see that there's first control of the message. There's no freelance. There's no doing what you feel or teaching what you think. There's a system of truth we all must submit to. We are told what to believe, what to preach, and we are told what to do. Hallelujah. You are told what to do and you are told what to believe. So, because God never created man to be a free thinker. Hallelujah. A free thinker or an independent person. It's unscriptural. I say, I'm a free thinker. I'm an independent person. My thoughts are unique to me. No, there's no such thing in the faith. God never made man to be a free thinker. God created man to embrace his thoughts and his ways, God's own philosophy. Man is meant to embrace the thoughts of God. God never designed a man to be a free thinker. God never designed any man to have his own separate thoughts. God created man to submit to his will, his plan, his purpose, his mind. Hallelujah. So it's in the local church we enforce the wisdom of God on men. It's in the local church we ensure that men embrace a common mindset, a common thought. Praise God. A common faith requires a common lifestyle. Hallelujah. A common faith requires a common mindset. When the Bible says to renew our minds, it's not that you renew your own mind and at the end of the day, we are not thinking alike. I have my own thought. No. In many matters, we have the same opinion. Hallelujah. Our views are not divergent. If I ask you, what do you think we should do? Should we submit to the government or should we not? We should both arrive at the same conclusion from the word of God. Hallelujah. When I say, what's your view about marriage? Should the man or the woman, should there be anything like submission or no submission in marriage? What are your views? We should have the same conclusion from the word of God. Hallelujah. A believer who constantly wrestles against the wisdom of the scriptures or the wisdom of God as revealed in the Bible is not ready for discipleship. Hallelujah. Such a Christian is not ready for discipleship. Bible says you have not so learned Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. Because in discipleship, we are students of the word of God. We are students of Christ. We are learning his own ways. We are learning his thoughts. We are learning his own ideologies. We are learning his own philosophy. Praise God. So a common faith requires a common mindset and then it requires a common lifestyle. And this is what we uphold in the local church. Glory be to God. This is what we uphold in the local church. So 1 Timothy chapter 3 again. I write to you, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself, how you ought to live as the church of God or as the house of God. Praise God. This is so key. Very, very important. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. From verse 1 to 6. Bible says, now the Spirit expressly says, in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving it to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from food, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Verse 6, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. One of the things that the local church is meant to ensure is discernment for the man in Christ, discernment for the believer. Hallelujah. If you have become a recipient of a sound ministry or a sound local church, you become a beneficiary of a sound, of the ministry of a sound local church, discernment will be one of the things you have gained, one of the things you benefited, one of the things you profited from as a Christian. Hallelujah. It says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, if you let them realize that there's such a thing as the doctrines of demons, lies of Satan. Hallelujah. That there's such a thing as doctrines of demons, seducing spirits. Several pulpits in a bid for the man of God to appear gentle, to appear to not be a troublemaker, don't even say anything about false teachings. Hallelujah. They say nothing about false teachers because they want everybody to just be at peace. You know what Jesus said? Concerning this, it says, I have not come. Do not think that I have come on the face of the earth to bring peace. I came with a sword. Hallelujah. I came with a sword. The word sword represents division. There will be conflict of opinions. Jesus was not talking about a physical sword. Jesus never advocated violence or aggression. Hallelujah. Jesus never advocated that men become fighters and brawlers. But he came, and by virtue of his doctrine, by virtue of his teachings, it set men against themselves. Men were divided in their thoughts, in their opinions. Hallelujah. And that's the reason why we have the church. Because the church is an association of men or a gathering, an assembly of men who have been called out of the world. Men who are of a different mindset. Hallelujah. That's the division. Before Jesus came, there was nothing like the world and the church. It was just the world. Praise God. I mean, the best they had in those days was Judaism. Amen. But there was no such thing as the church and the world. Jesus brought that division by virtue of his faith. Hallelujah. By virtue of his teachings, his doctrine. Praise God. So we are already divided from the world. And then in the church today, we ought to let men realize that there's the possibility of a counterfeit faith. There's the possibility of an adulterated gospel. The apostles were loud about this. The apostles warned men against this. Paul says to Timothy, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, if you instruct the brethren in these things. Any pastor that talks about false teachers, false teachings, and warns men against them and contends for the faith today is considered to be a bad minister. Paul says you will be a good minister if you instruct the saints in these things. That is, you are doing a good job. Hallelujah. You are doing a good job if you instruct the brethren in these things. The local church is for birthing discernment in the saints. Hallelujah. Birthing discernment in the saints. Glory be to God. Look at verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Hallelujah. Bible says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. See that? So in the local church, you get to see worthy examples. Hallelujah. Worthy examples. Men will say, well, I don't need a local church. I can do it all myself. See, it's possible you even learn doctrine from afar. But when it comes to seeing worthy examples, to emulating a manner of life, you need that stuff called the local church. You need this gathering, this structure, an assembly of men called the local church. That's where you get to see examples of how you ought to live your life as a Christian. Because beyond the verbal teachings, verbal indoctrination, men also learn by influence. Hallelujah. By looking at men, by imitating what others do. Hallelujah. So you are influenced not just by what we say, you are influenced by what you see regularly. Glory to God. Now, I was telling some folks recently that certain ways that I deal with issues and handle matters in my local church today, as a result of the way I saw my pastor handle them. Certain things are not taught. Praise God. I mean, I saw the way my pastor settled issues. Very mature disposition. You know, somebody has an issue with another person and my pastor settles the issue. I mean, with the wisdom of God, it's so beautiful. I saw him do that regularly. And, you know, years after, I was going to start pastoring. And, in fact, one day, I had settled a matter. I just remembered that this was exactly how my pastor addressed the issue. Amen. You know, because the truth is, in ministry, you are going to come across virtually the same challenges. Hallelujah. That's why it is going to be wrong to discard the experiences of older ministers. Amen. There are some older ministers who don't even know the word. But their experiences in matters of administration, settling matters, disputes, conflicts, you can't throw it away. Because you come across virtually the same kind of challenges everywhere. Praise God. There is no perfect local church where there are no issues. The moment we have a local church where there are no issues, we have a local church built on pretense and hypocrisy. People are not really showing themselves. Hallelujah. Something is wrong. Hallelujah. There must be issues. It's about how we respond and how we address such issues. That's the important thing. Praise God. So in the local church, you get to see examples. Paul instructs Timothy to be an example to the believers. Let no one despise your youth. Be an example. In word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Praise God. In purity. The man is meant to model these things to the saints as a leader. Praise God. So it's in the local church we get to see worthy examples of the faith. Hallelujah. Worthy examples of the faith. You know, Paul even said something to Timothy. Hallelujah. Paul said something to Timothy. That is also very, very instructive. Praise God. Very, very, very instructive. And I'll read you that from 2 Timothy. Glory be to God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 10. It says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Paul is saying to Timothy, you are a well-rounded minister. Praise God. You are well-taught, you are a well-taught and a well-groomed minister of the gospel because you have followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith. Hallelujah. Long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, afflictions. You saw the way I responded to these things. Amen. You saw the demonstration of my faith. You saw long suffering. So you've been taught verbally and graphically. Hallelujah. You've been taught verbally and graphically. You have a worthy example of the life you've been called to live. Praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that transformed the apostles of Jesus was the fact that they saw him live his life the way he lived it. They saw him conduct his life the way he did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, Peter, when he was called to raise up Tabitha, you know what he did? He knelt down to pray. That was exactly what Jesus did. When Jesus wanted to go raise a young girl, he chased everybody out and then he prayed. Peter did the same thing in the book of Acts. He got there, discovered people were crying, he chased all of them out. You know, those are ministry experiences, ministry training. You don't get to learn verbally. Certain things are learned by observation. You just see. So the local church is a place where you get to see how things are done. I told somebody, the first time I learned to give word of knowledge, I saw somebody demonstrate it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I saw my pastor give word of knowledge. The first time I became much more bold to give word of knowledge and call out the person was when I saw Reverend Adebayo do that. Hallelujah. My pastor demonstrated that after I had seen it with Reverend Adebayo. You know, because my pastor had gone away from church, from school. He was pastoring the campus church. So he had gone away and then we were on campus. Unfortunately and sadly, the people that were leading us right there did not demonstrate those things. Praise God. So, by the time he came back, he had taken us to a particular meeting where I saw this well demonstrated. So, by the time he came back to pastors on campus, he also was doing the same. He'll call a case and call somebody out and, you know, minister to people. But, you know, I saw that first with Reverend Adebayo and it emboldened me. Praise God. I mean, I can call a case and be bold about it. Even when the person is not responding, I'll wait. Sometimes I will wait for some like 10 minutes. Praise God. Hallelujah. There was a particular meeting where he said, there's somebody in this place. It's a young man in this place. You ran from the police net. You ran from the police net and you're in this meeting. Praise God. And then nobody came out. Maybe because the person was ashamed. He said, see, I'm waiting for you. And he stayed for like 10, 15 or 20 minutes. He said, see, I'm not joking. It's not guesswork. And he waited and the young man came out, I mean, quietly, sad and all. So he said, see, you ran from the police net, but the power of God has moved on your behalf. You've been released. Praise God. Guess what? The young man got back home from that meeting and then the police guys came to the house and they brought his bail requirement or something. They brought it to him. They said somebody had, you know, bailed him out. He was free. He was just meant to sign. That was a miracle. Praise God. You know, seeing such things demonstrated, I mean, it will embolden you to walk in the same. So you see, what the examples of faith, of the spirit, what the examples of conduct. Hallelujah. You see, a pastor who is not short-tempered, where at every, you know, mistake, the pastor just yells. Amen. A pastor who is surutu. You know what they call surutu? A pastor who is a brawler, quarrelsome. Picks up a fight at every given opportunity. A pastor who doesn't take anything, does not tolerate anything from the believers. I mean, you don't want that kind of example. Because what you see regularly is what you are going to learn to live like. Amen. So we find what the examples of faith, what the examples of conduct, what the examples of walking in love, walking in the spirit, walking in purity. How do you explain a pastor that is, you know, the ladies' man? Amen. Or if the pastor is a lady, is, you know, she's for every guy. Hallelujah. How do you explain such? A pastor who is of a questionable character. You can't trust him with damsels in church. You can't trust him with money. Praise God. But when you see a pastor who demonstrates integrity in such things, integrity in relationships, you are learning something. Even without him saying much. Hallelujah. You see your pastor, how your pastor endures trials, how he goes through persecutions, how he goes through afflictions, and you learn something. So the local church affords us the privilege of learning from examples. Glory to God. You get to see the examples of your leaders. You get to see examples of your fellow believers. Like I said, influence isn't just by words. You learn by having models and examples. So in discipleship, a clear example of what you are expected to do is very key and important. that is gotten in the setting of the local church. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 5 from verse 1. Bible says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity. Hallelujah. Like I told you, these actions are examples for others. So the pastor is told to not rebuke an older man. Someone who is old enough to be his father. Praise God. Because Timothy was a young man, was a teenager. Praise God. So he says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Praise God. Younger men as brothers. Older women as mothers. Treat them as brothers. Mothers, older women, then the younger women as sisters in our hearts with all purity. Praise God, with all purity. And that is meant to be an example to others. Praise God. We should be able to trust you with these relationships. Amen. Look at verse 3. How he says, honor widows who are really widows. When he says those who are really widows, it's a contrast with those who have children. Widows who have children and grandchildren. Praise God. So, it says, honor widows who are really widows. Now, go to verse 4. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. So, imagine that in a local church, if we see someone who is a widow being neglected and not being cared for by his children or grandchildren, we are not to look away. We are to ensure that those children become responsible for such a parent. Hallelujah. Imagine these areas of our lives. Hallelujah. The local church must be involved. So you don't look away and say, well, it's a family matter. No, we must ensure that they learn to take care of their parents. Glory to God. And even as the pastor demonstrates compassion and help and support towards those who are widows, who do not have anybody who can take care of them, the church generally emulates that disposition. They see that example and then they also emulate the same. Glory be to God. Look at verse 5. Bible says, now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. Look at verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You know, we used to quote this a lot of times to speak of fathers taking care of their children. Of course, that can be applicable, but the immediate context is about even children taking care of their parents. Amen. Children and grandchildren of widows taking care of them. Hallelujah. Bible says, those who do not provide for those of their own household are worse than unbelievers in their conduct. Not that it's worse than an unbeliever in the real sense, in the absolute sense. You say, he's worse than an unbeliever. That means he has lost his salvation. No. With respect to this conduct, because even the world takes care of its own. There are unbelieving people who take care of their parents. So a believer who does not do that is worse than an unbeliever in that conduct. Praise God. In that area of conduct. Hallelujah. Now, before we continue seeing through, walking through the book of 1 Timothy, let me quickly say this. Are you aware that Jesus didn't speak about many of these areas? Hallelujah. Do you know a young man came to meet Jesus and said, my brother is cheating me. My brother is not, you know, dividing the inheritance properly. And Jesus said, who has made me an advocate? Amen. Who has made me a judge over you guys, over your matters? Amen. If it was the church, Jesus wouldn't have said that at all. Because many of these things were for the church. This kind of administration structure, ensuring a proper way of living and doing things, is for the church. Jesus focused much more on ensuring that men had faith in him, because without possessing the new life, we can't be talking about the new lifestyle. Hallelujah. Without ensuring that men receive the life, we can't be talking about the lifestyle that is meant to emanate from that life. Glory to God. So you find these things, instructions, as things that are peculiar to the church, given mostly to the church. Glory be to God. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 again, from verse 9 to 16. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, not unless she has been the wife of one man. Imagine that. Being the wife of one man, there's even a condition for honoring widows who are really widows, those who have no children. There's a condition. She shouldn't be under 60 years. That is, she has entered the age of retirement. Praise God. Because the support is meant to be a continual support as per helping the person every month. Sending something to the person every month for our upkeep. So it says, until such a person has entered retirement age, don't let such a widow be taken into number. Hallelujah. This is to discourage laziness. Amen. Because if someone becomes a widow while she's still 27 or 34, I mean, you need to get out there and work. And there's the possibility of even remarrying. Amen. And Paul mentions that. There's the possibility of getting married again. So, not unless she has been the wife of one man. Imagine that. Even for the 60-year-old widow, there are still conditions. Wife of one man, praise God, well reported for good works. If she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, hallelujah, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. Glory to God. Now that's meant to ensure that, you know, people live their lives in accordance with the will of God while they are still young. Amen. That is, you don't just live your life recklessly and then at the end of the day, by the time you become 60, you lose your husband, you now start depending on the church. Praise God. There seem to be some qualifications required. She must have been a good example to the saints for the church to even take her into the number and, you know, be responsible for her fully. Imagine. Interesting. Hallelujah. So that means there are several things in the administration and in the structure of the local church that may conflict with your mindset, your perspective. Amen. How you feel things should be done. Glory be to God. Your disposition as a person. I mean, why this kind of criteria? Can't we just walk in love? Can't we just walk in love? Must this be this kind of qualification? Is this not the church of Jesus? God so loved the world. I mean, what did we do? Why should somebody end? What? You know? And then you go on ranting and you're sad and you're angry. It's possible you're in the meeting where this letter is read. Timothy says, this is what Paul has said we should do. And then you rant. You say, why? No. And all that. You're not putting into consideration the fact that the local church is for setting the right standards and examples. Amen. If a woman lives recklessly, or a man lives recklessly and all of that, and eventually the person, you know, is added to the payroll of the church, we begin to send money to the person every day, that means there's no discipline in the church. There's no standard. Hallelujah. There's no standard. Whatever we celebrate, whatever we support in the church is an example to others. So rather than say, why should there be such a criteria? The question you should ask yourself is this criteria too big to fulfill? Is this kind of qualification too great for a believer in Christ to achieve? Amen? It's not too great. It's not tedious. It is so simple. I mean, it just means be exemplary. Hallelujah. Be exemplary. Today, we don't wash the saints' feet. We don't do all that. But we can sum up everything said here as being an exemplary Christian. Hallelujah. A Christian whose lifestyle reflects Christ, reflects the faith that he professes. Hallelujah. You know, it's the same way we read at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, where Paul says, he who does not work should not eat. We commanded you. Anybody that does not work should not eat. You don't say, but let's just walk in love. I mean, they don't have to merit it. They don't have to deserve it. And then you are just mixing up concepts. Praise God. Things that should not mix. Hallelujah. Things that should not mix. Glory to God. The idea of legalism that some people have is that there's no discipline in the body of Christ. Everything goes. It's just grace. Amen. Legalism is you trying to earn the goodness of God or acceptance with Christ, acceptance with God by the things you do. Trying to gain salvation or righteousness by what you do. Hallelujah. Legalism is not paying attention or, you know, to instruction and obeying rules and regulations in the church. No, no, no. That's not legalism. Amen. There are certain things said in the body of Christ. There are certain things said to the body of Christ that are commandments. Hallelujah. They are commandments, instructions, charge. Amen. And you don't call that legalism. Praise God. So, look at verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11. but refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to grow one thing against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith, and besides they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies. Have you seen the reason? Praise God. Widow, but has time for wandering about house to house, not doing anything. Praise God. Wandering about house to house, not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies. Hallelujah. They now have enough time to debate and to talk about others, to gossip, to talk about others. Hallelujah. Busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some have already turned aside after Satan. Praise God. Have you seen that? Verse 16. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. Glory to God. I told you the concept of really widows there is widows who do not have children or relatives to take care of them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, you must have been worried as a woman. When you read through some of these letters, you find that they spoke of how women should take care of the house and all that. I mean, that's the alternative to not being gossips, to not going about being busybodies. It doesn't say they should get work. Amen. It doesn't say they should look for job to do. It says they should stop wandering from house to house and being gossips, get married, bear children, manage the house, give an opportunity to the adversary and all that. Of course, in those days, it was the culture in those days that women were mostly home managers, house managers. Praise God. The women were not doing much as per working and getting, you know, money to fend for the family or to take care of the family. No, they were the ones that in the house taking care of the home and all that. And in those days, that was work on its own. Glory to God. That was work on its own. Amen. And you know what? In those days, they used to have maids, especially the rich ones. Enough maids to support the woman in the house to work. It was really work. Praise God. And I'm still going to talk about this before the end of this teaching. I think in the next teaching, I'm still going to talk about it when we enter the book of Titus. I'm going to show you why that is so. So this is not for you today to say every woman is just meant to be in the house and taking care of the times have changed. Praise God. Times have changed. So like I said, I'm still going to touch on this because you find this as a regular slant in the epistles. Amen. You find it as a regular slant in the epistles. Women were just spoken of, you know, with respect to domestic duties. Praise God. You know, but if you cast your mind back to when we did it, a series on spiritual growth and what it looks like, and I began to talk about context, studying your Bible and how to study your Bible in context, I mentioned three particular contexts. Context that the believer must understand when studying the Bible. You must factor in those things. Literary context, historical context, cultural context. There are certain statements that are culturally relevant. Amen. Just like this one. Glory to God. So we're going to get to that in the next teaching. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 to 18. Bible says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Hallelujah. Let them be counted worthy. So the pastor is the one to ensure that. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes, you know, you could be shy as a pastor. You could just be laid back in that. But, you know, it's an instruction. It says to ensure that. Hallelujah. I'm trying these days. Ensure that the elders who rule well are counted worthy of double honor. Especially those who labor in word and doctrine. So, in the local church, we learn how to honor elders. Pastors who rule well in word and in doctrine in the local church. We instill that kind of discipline and that kind of attitude and culture into the heart of the saints in the local church. Hallelujah. Now you see, there's no way you're going to read through the pastoral epistles and you will not see structure, order, discipline, accountability, discipleship, proper oversight. There's no way. There's no way you're not going to see that. There's no way you're not going to see these things boldly written in the pastoral epistles. Praise God. Because this is exactly what the local church is meant for. Hallelujah. And I want to plead with you, my friend. I want to beseech you to submit to the wisdom of God with respect to the local church. Submit to the wisdom of God. Embrace this idea. Let go every funny idea or perspective, every conflicting opinion in your heart. Submit to the wisdom of God and embrace the idea of a local church. Hallelujah. In this series, we are going to get to a point where we give recommendations. Hallelujah. What to look out for. Not recommending churches, but recommendations. I mean, what to look out for. How do I know a sound local church or a healthy local church? And then I hope that would lead you, that would guide you in your choice of a sound local church. Because that's the essence of this teaching. To clarify the gray areas, to let us see the wisdom of God in designing the local church. Amen. And then to see the benefits that we stand to gain if we submit to the local church. And ultimately to motivate more people to embrace the idea of the local church and settle in for discipline, accountability, order, and discipleship. Praise God. I'm going to continue in the next teaching. Do good to tune in and invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of faith, full of power, full of spiritual songs, full of the Holy Ghost. And be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.